will begin now in the book of Zechariah. And it's in the Old Testament. Second to the... Yeah, we got about 15 minutes. Is that right? Second to the last book in the Old Testament. It's an excellent, excellent book. And I hope we can look through some of these things and glean from them. It was written in 520 B.C. The year is October, November, right in that area, October, November of 520 B.C. A contemporary of Zechariah is Haggai. And Haggai was writing a book at the same time. In fact, his book tells us that he began writing on August 29th of that same year. So he's already began writing and received his first message from the Lord. A little bit of history on Zechariah is he was a priest. He's from the lineage of the priests. He was born in Babylon in exile. And he came back to the land with his father and his grandfather. And we're going to meet them here in the first verse. They came back in the year 536 B.C. Now, 536 B.C. is exactly 70 years from the first captivity of Jerusalem, which was 605 B.C. when Nebuchadnezzar came through after he chased Pharaoh Necho down into Egypt. He stopped by because his father had died over in Babylon, and he picked up Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and some of the other noble people, and took them in captivity back. And that's the first captivity that had been prophesied that was coming, and that began the captivity, and Jeremiah had prophesied that the captivity would last 70 years. Well, in 536, Daniel is an older man now in his 80s, and he begins to realize, he says, I was studying the scripture, and then I realized the 70 years was up. And sure enough, that was the year. Then Cyrus begins to send the people back. And at that time, Zechariah, a young man, comes back into the land of Israel. And they come back to rubble. They come back to a junkyard. The place had been destroyed. It had been burned 70 years before. You just imagine, you know, I don't care if you want to imagine Des Moines, imagine Garwin or whatever. Just someone destroying it, burning it, capturing most everybody. Destroying all the important buildings and then leaving it there for 70 years. And now you're going to come home. After 70 years, you're all excited. You've never been there. These people have never been there before. But they're going home. They've heard stories about how grand it is in Jerusalem. And they go back. It's like, this is not what Grandpa said about Jerusalem. He didn't say this is what Jerusalem looked like. You know, he didn't tell us about the, you know, all the weeds and all the rubble. And just there's nothing here. There wasn't anything there, basically, especially no temple. And so they come back there in 536 B.C. and they begin to rebuild. Their goal was to build the temple. They're going to rebuild the temple. And Daniel's prophecy says that at the starting date of the temple would begin the countdown of the last 490 years until, you know, 483 years until the Messiah came of time. There's going to be, you've got to believe, you've got to understand, there's going to be some satanic opposition. Satan is not scripturally illiterate. Satan knows exactly when the angel told Daniel when the time was going to be. Satan knew it, wrote it down, and took off figuring it out and began a plan on how to counteract that prophecy. And you can see here, he's going to appear in this book, fighting against, trying to keep this prophecy from starting. Because if he can keep the temple from being built, keep the people from beginning the countdown, he can keep Messiah from coming back, which will solve all of his problems. Or not coming back, but from coming. So anyway, this is a very, very important time in history, very important time as far as scriptural fulfillment and interaction, even affecting us today. The purpose of this book was to encourage people to rebuild the temple, but mainly, along with Haggai's book, but the main part of Zechariah is going to be begging the people for spiritual renewal, begging them to please turn to the Lord. Not Zechariah. Zechariah was simply a spokesman for God. And God is going to, through the prophet, be begging the people, if you want to use the word begging, to come back to Him. Let's begin in verse 1. In the eighth month of the second year of Darius, now they use the Darius, the Assyrian, the Persian king, as dating because they have no king. They can't date their years off a king. They don't have any king. The king would have been Zerubbabel. He was the one in line for the kingship. He was the grandson of the last king. But there is a curse placed on that line that anyone who sat on the throne would be cursed of God, and Zerubbabel knew better than that. He says, I'm not going to step up. He served as governor and leader of the people, led them back, but he would never take the position of king of the people, Zerubbabel. So they have no king. They're still under the authority of the Persians. And so they date their years in as Darius. And in the second year of Darius, it says, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah. It's interesting. The word of the Lord came to him. It didn't come, you know, they didn't drop a paper out of heaven, but God spoke to the prophet, and the prophet heard, understood. In his being, he knew what the Lord was saying, and he was called to the office right there, prophet. Now, he is already in the priesthood. He is already a priest. If he's 30 years old, he's functioning as a priest. But he's not functioning as a priest because they haven't rebuilt the temple yet. But God calls him to be a prophet. So now he's in the office of a prophet. The prophet Zechariah, the name Zechariah means the Lord remembers. The Lord remembers. Son of Berechiah, which means the Lord blesses. Berechiah was his father. The son of Ido, which means timely. So you put those together. It's very interesting. And you know, some people make stuff out of this. And some people say you shouldn't make stuff out of it. But I'll just tell you what, if you put those names together, what you can kind of come up with. The Lord bless, or the Lord remembers, the Lord blesses, and timely. The Lord will remember and bless you in due time. And that's exactly what's happening here. They've been under a curse. They've been sent off into captivity. After 70 years, he brings them back, and the Lord remembered them. Now he's going to bless them at exactly the time he said he was going to be. And so basically what you got there in those three names is the book right here. The Lord remembered you. He's going to bless you in time right here. And the time had come. We can look over here in the book of Ezra if you want to. Go to the book of Ezra. And maybe you don't like this kind of stuff, but I always like it when... I guess I was amazed. One of the things that really got me excited about the Word of God was when I'd be with people or listen to people teach, and it's like the whole thing fit together. It's like somebody knew what was going on. Not that the Bible teacher himself knew, but that God actually... you know, it's like the books are so I had no idea. You know, the books aren't even in the right order. The last book in the Hebrew Old Testament is 2 Chronicles. That's the last book in the Hebrew Old Testament. Ours is Malachi. It's like it doesn't matter what order they're in so much. I don't think that's inspired. I suppose it is. I never thought about it. But it's like there's apparently no system. But there is a system, but it's going to come through study. In Ezra chapter 5, we'll look at this. And we've mentioned, there's two verses we're going to look at. But... it says in Ezra, chapter 5, verse 1, now Haggai the prophet, and we just mentioned Haggai, remember he's already began writing his book and receiving his visions and prophecies, the prophet and Zechariah the prophet, a descendant of Ido, prophesied to the Jews in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the Lord of Israel, the name of God of Israel, who was over them. And so right there you've got Haggai the prophet and Zechariah, it mentions his name there. I just said it's fun to have someone know what they're doing. I don't know what I'm doing. Let's go to another verse. There's something there that I thought, but it's not there. It was there this afternoon when I studied, but it's gone now. The Word of God is living and active. It just changed on me. I read that wrong. Okay. See, that Haggai's grandfather was also idol. See, I thought that it said, now Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the prophet, a descendant of Ido, prophesied to the Jews. See, I've heard someone teach this, that they were cousins. Haggai and Zechariah were cousins. And I thought that's what that verse said, but that's not what that verse says. So I thought I'd found it, but it's not there. But anyway, Haggai and them are cousins, I thought. But we'll erase the tape on that part. Let's go on. The Lord was very angry, it says in verse 2. The Lord was very angry with your forefathers, and that would be the pre-exile. Those were the ones that the divine wrath, speaking of divine wrath, he was very angry. How angry was he? So angry he destroyed their city, destroyed his temple in their city, and sent them off into captivity for 70 years. Now, no one at that time is going to argue that the Lord indeed was very angry. Yes, we know the Lord was very angry with our forefathers. Therefore, tell the people, This is what the Lord Almighty says. Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you. This is the statement of grace. The Lord was very angry. The wrath of God has come. But now, return to me, and I'll return to you. He doesn't say, now remember, the prophets of old would get on the people for not following the laws, for not keeping the Sabbath, for not doing the things that they're supposed to do. And they'd always say, go to the law, go to the law, follow God's law. Here it says, return to me, return to me. You know, again, bypassing the law, not that the law has been laid aside, but he wants that personal relationship. Come back to me, come back to God, he's saying. You know, bypass the law and come to me, declares the Lord Almighty. Now that word, the name Lord Almighty is important. And I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. There it is again. Do not be like your forefathers to whom the earlier prophets proclaimed. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Now they go back to the prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Habakkuk. This is what they were saying. It is kind of a summary of their whole message. This is what the Lord says. Turn from your evil ways and your evil practices. But they would not listen or pay attention to me, declares the Lord. Then he says in verse 5, where are your forefathers now? They're dead. And the prophets, do they live forever? They're dead. So where are the wicked people? They're dead. Where are the righteous people? They're dead. And I remind you now, when you get to this next verse, in verse 6, but did not my words and my decrees, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, overtake your forefathers? And then you've got that verse in 1 Peter 1:24. Remember this? All men are like grass, but the word of the Lord endures forever. All men are going to perish. But the thing, the word of God, when our generation has passed, when we're gone, this will still be here. They'll still be proclaiming this if the church is still going on, if the rapture hasn't taken place. This will still be going on. And the effects of what we do today, you know, people look at us and say, my forefathers, they'll be able to see the results of the Word of God in our life. Like it says right here, it says, which I commanded my servants the prophets, overtake your forefathers. The Word of God overtook the forefathers. It came upon them and overtook them for judgment. It was, the words were spoken, and it just came up, and just like a lion, like a leopard. You see, like a cat in the wilderness chasing an animal. Just, you see the little, we watched Born Free again the other night. You remember the movie Born Free? We got it for the kids to watch it. I remember those lions chasing a groundhog or something, chasing other things too, but warthog. And a little hog, he's running, and his cat just vroom. You just see the thing just coming in on them. There's no chance. Just a matter of time. And that's exactly what it's saying here. Overtake them. In the book of Deuteronomy, it talks, and we could go there, but we won't. But in Deuteronomy, it says, talks about blessings. And God says in the book of Deuteronomy that if you'll follow my laws, these blessings will overtake you. You just keep following the word of God and coming up on your blind side, on the back. You just keep going what God told you. Coming up, they're just going to get you. The blessings will just get you. The same way, though, it says in the curses. You break the laws of God, and the curses, they're coming up at you too. And we all have either blessings or curses coming up on us according to the Word of God, according to how we're following. And here is an example. He's reminding the people, when your forefathers were on the earth, they had the curses coming upon them. And the prophets, they had the foresight. They had the Spirit of God showing them, I see him coming. Here comes the curses. Look out. Here they come. They're coming. And it'd be, oh, no, we don't see anything. We don't. I do. I can see it. It's coming. And sure enough, one day the words of the prophets came up and took it. All the prophets are gone now. All the forefathers are gone. But Zechariah looks at the people and says, but the word of the Lord is still here. That same word is now pursuing you. It's either pursuing you to bless you or pursuing you to overtake and destroy you. And he's encouraging them here to please turn back to the Lord. It's interesting in that next verse right there, then they repented and said. When did they repent? This is interesting. This is very interesting. They did not repent when the prophets spoke. They did not repent when the armies came, because Jeremiah was in the city and he was telling the people, just surrender, just surrender. God will work with you in this position. They wouldn't surrender. They began to fight, resist, until finally, after 2 years, the Babylonians broke through the walls and captured the city, destroyed the place, took them off into captivity, and then in captivity, the forefathers and their descendants said this, the Lord Almighty has done to us what our ways and practices deserve, just as he determined to do. Then in captivity, then after the punishment was over, they said, yep, we were wrong. We have got what we deserve. They weren't hard-hearted about it. I'm sure some of them were. But as a whole, they says, we're not mad at God. We just got what we deserve, which is a sign of repentance, which means now God's got a chance for grace now. God says, okay, you've repented now. Let's come on back and let's start this thing again. And that's what God wants to do, is start this thing again. But that first generation that comes back, they've been there for how many years? 16 years. Is the temple built? No temple. The people are now starting to drift away. Now that we read the book of Haggai, we find out they've got nice houses. They've got all their things taken care of, but they haven't got the temple built. The countdown hasn't started like Daniel said it would when they got started with it. And they're just very, very passive, falling further and further away from God. And Zechariah, not on his own.